Be seated, please. In some prayers, more than others, maybe in many prayers, maybe in all of our prayers, it's clear that we're talking to ourselves at least, if not more than, we're talking to God. Today's collect is a prime example. We might as well be saying, now folks, God is the fountain of all wisdom, knows what we need before we ask, and is aware of our ignorance when we're asking. Because my take on that is God already knows that. God is the fountain of all wisdom, etc. The book I've been reading, one short chapter per week, yes, that book, Breathing Underwater, provides some insight into this. The author, brother or father, Richard Rohr, both are correct. He's a Franciscan friar and also a priest, writes about the mystery of asking. He says, why does Jesus both tell us to ask and then say, your Father already knows what you need, so do not babble on like the pagans do? That's in Matthew's gospel. He goes on to say, we ask not to change God, but to change ourselves. We pray to form a loving relationship, not to get things done. This reminds me of something I've quoted many times here and in other venues. It's on the first page of the Daughters of the King's trifold. It says simply, prayer changes me. It's a stunning and profound declaration, and the very one that Brother Richard is talking about. A couple of paragraphs further on, he writes, prayer is not a way to try to control God or even to get what we want. As Jesus says in Luke's gospel, the answer to every prayer is one, the same, and the best, the Holy Spirit. God gives us more power than answers. That was all from Rohr. Now that sounds a lot like Paul's main point in today's passage from Romans. The Holy Spirit inside us witnesses that we are children of God. Brother Richard talks about the temptation, especially prevalent in today's culture, to think, I deserve this. Wealth, position, power, advantage, because I worked hard for it. Or, I am owed this because of my station in life. And Rohr offers this corrective. To undercut this arrogant and soul-destructive attitude, Jesus told us to stay in the position of a beggar, a petitioner, a radical dependent, which is always spiritually true if we are honest. Further, he writes, God has to radically change the central reference point of our lives. We do not even know where to look because up to now it's all been about me. Too much me can never find you or anything beyond itself. Rohr, I'll remind you, in this that I'm quoting now is writing to addicts about addiction and recovery. But you might remember that I quoted him a few weeks ago saying, human beings are addicted by nature, addicted to our own way of doing anything, our own defenses, and most especially our patterned way of thinking or how we process our reality. He wrote that in the very first chapter of this brief book. So hence, the above comments about deserving and being entitled to whatever good things come our way. Well, I've done this, and I need this, and so on. So when we, this is the seventh step, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Rohr warns against going after our faults ourselves, or we will, quoting here, go after the wrong thing, or more commonly, a clever substitute for the real thing. If you try to pull out the weeds, you might pull out the wheat along with them, as Jesus says, in what we just heard in our gospel this morning. Instead, he writes, we have to let God, one, reveal our real faults to us, usually by failing and falling many times, and then two, allow God to remove those faults from God's side and in God's way. If we go after them with an angry stick, we will soon be left with just an angry stick. Instead, I believe God will reveal to us, if we are patient and humble, our true nature, which is so much richer and more luminous than we have fooled ourselves into believing by indulging our shortcomings, defects, faults, sins, whatever we would call those, as a way of protecting ourselves from what we fear. One of the things we fear is that we're worthless and forget that our true nature is that image of God in which we have been created. More important than our patience, and our patience is really, really important, as Paul writes, in waiting for this ongoing revelation, is God's patience with us. In Rohr's words, God is willing to wait, like Jacob at the foot of the ladder in his dream, where angels walk between heaven and earth. You will lay your head on even a stone pillow and say, you were here all the time, and I never knew it. This is nothing less than the house of God. This is the very gate of heaven. That's in Genesis. He goes on, it is even better than that. The final discovery, as Thomas Merton put it, is that this gate of heaven is everywhere. Now, all our faults and ego possessions are just heavy and burdensome luggage that keeps us from walking through this always open gate, or even seeing it in the first place. So we pray for God, to God for those things for which our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.